Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Word is so important. God has breathed it out of His own mouth for our blessing, for our edification, for our instruction, for our direction, and for our preservation. God has given us His Word so that we might read it, so that we might know it, so that we might meditate upon it, so that we might memorize it and apply it in our lives and use it as God's powerful sword in the battle against sin and Satan and our own sinful nature. Verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 19 speak of God's general revelation of Himself to us in creation. Verses 7 through 11 of this psalm speak of God's special revelation of Himself to us. God's special revelation is His verbal revelation. God speaks. He spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. God spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That was special revelation. It was revelation in words. The very first revelation that God gave Adam and Eve was His blessing. God first spoke words of blessing upon Adam and Eve when He had created them. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them. That was the first special revelation of God to man. The second thing God said to man is, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God gave Adam and Eve directions for their lives. He gave them tasks to accomplish here on this earth. The third thing that God revealed in His special revelation to them is in Genesis 1, verse 29. God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." God told them what He had made for them to eat. He made every plant and all the fruit on the trees for them to eat. There's one exception to that. God forbid them to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." God revealed to Adam His design or purpose in instituting the holy estate of marriage. God's special revelation is so important. It is so necessary for us. It is so rich. It is so full of everything we need to know for our faith in God and for our lives in this world. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11 tell us some of the wonderful attributes of God's Word and some of the fruits of God's Word in the lives of those who hear, who read, who study it, who believe it, and who obey it. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "God's Word is perfect, and it converts or turns the soul of man to God and to righteousness. The testimony of the Lord is sure or certain, and it makes wise the simple." This evening we consider the attributes and fruits of God's Word in verse 8. God's Word is right, and it rejoices the heart. Verse 8 refers to God's Word as the statutes of Yahweh. The Hebrew word translated statutes in this verse is a word that means directions or orders. The Hebrew word is used only 24 times in the Old Testament. It is used only in the Psalms. It is translated statutes only here in our text. 21 times throughout Psalm 119, the same word is translated precepts. It is translated commandments twice. In Psalm 19, verse 8, the word statutes means God's word. God's special revelation to us is right. God's directions and orders for us in His Word are right. That is not true of all the statutes men make. The English word statute comes from a Latin word that means to set. The English word statute is an act of the legislature of a state that extends its binding force to all the citizens or subjects of that state. A statute is an act of the legislator commanding or prohibiting something. A statute is positive law. Positive law is different from common law. Common law has binding force. It has the force of law because it is based on principles of justice and righteousness, and it has been used for a long time, and the people of a nation agree that it is just and right. Magna Carta is Latin for the Great Charter. The nobles of England wrote Magna Carta and forced King John of England to sign it at Runnymede in AD 1215. Magna Carta is one of the most important documents in our Western legal heritage. Magna Carta declares the Bible to be the common law of England. Magna Carta declares that the Word of God tells us what is just and right. What the Bible requires is right, and what the Bible forbids is wrong. When the English colonists came to this land in the 1600s, they brought with them the legal heritage of Magna Carta. They brought with them the idea that the Bible is the common law of the land. That the Bible decides for us what is right and what is wrong. The Bible is the standard of justice. And that is the basis upon which the colonists in the 1700s objected to the statutes or the positive laws passed by the English Parliament. For example, the English Parliament passed the Stamp Act in 1765. And they passed a tax upon all the tea that the colonists imported, among other statutes. The colonists refused to pay the tax on the documents that were stamped and on the tea because these positive laws violated the rights of Englishmen as set forth in the common law or the principles of limited government, liberty, and justice as set forth in Holy Scripture. The power to tax is the power to destroy. It is not right for government to levy a tax to raise money in order to expand the reach and the power of government at the expense of the citizens. The Bible teaches us that an unborn baby is a human being made in the image of God, and that it is wrong to kill that baby before birth because the baby bears the image of the living God. To kill an unborn baby is to attack the image of God and to attack God Himself. Only God can kill and make alive. Only God has the power of life and of death. That is common law. That is the Bible as the common law of the land, and that is still our legal heritage today. The Bible determines for us what is right and what is wrong. Abortion is wrong because God said it is wrong in the Bible. Abortion is wrong because the common law of the land says it is wrong. When the United States Supreme Court says that a woman has the right to privacy, and therefore she can privately decide to kill the unborn baby she is carrying without anyone else knowing about it or interfering in her decision, they are violating the Bible and the common law of the land. They are trying to enact a statute or a positive law that only has authority because the Supreme Court declared it by its own authority as the third branch of the government of the United States of America. When the state of Colorado, through its legislature and governor, enacts a law that allows women to abort their babies, that is positive law also. It is a statute. It is a statutory law. It only has the force of law because the legislature gave it the force of the law. It is a wrong statute. It is a statute that is unlawful. It is a statute that is unjust. It is a wicked statute. It is a statute that declares evil to be righteous. It violates the common law of the land. It violates the justice and the truth of God's holy word. Man's statutes are often wrong. Man's positive law is often the product of his own depraved and crooked mind and heart. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right." They're not like man's statutes. The Lord's law is righteous. The Lord's word is just. It is holy and true. It faithfully reflects the upright character of God Himself. Men often entangle themselves in crooked ways as a country when they follow their own understanding. And we in this country have entangled ourselves in many crooked ways in our land and in our culture. We are so attached to ourselves and to our own ideas, and we think we know what is best. It can be so difficult to remove our minds, or to remove from our minds, that vain confidence that we have in our own wisdom. We always think our way is right, even when it is the way that leads to death. When God declares in Psalm 19, verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right," it is such an important truth. The statutes of the Lord are right. They define what is right and true and just. And man's life cannot be ordered aright unless it is ordered, guided, framed according to the law of God. Without God's laws, the common law of the land, man can only wander in a maze and on all kinds of crooked side paths. Not only is God's word right, but it rejoices the heart. The word of God is right, and because it is right, good, and true, it makes our hearts rejoice. It makes us happy. It fills us with joy. It makes our mouths proclaim the praises of the Lord. This verse does not say the statutes of the Lord are right and make you smile. Does not just make you look happy on the outside. God's word makes your heart happy. Makes your heart rejoice. It makes your heart overflow with praise. It makes you happy through and through. There are many things in life that can make you sad. There are many things that can depress you. There are many things that can bring sorrow to you. God's word should make you happy. It should make your heart rejoice. Makes you rejoice from the innermost part of your being. Your true, real self, deep down inside, is happy and rejoices. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 say, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Psalm 128 begins, "Blessed or happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways." When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 both describe a happy family, a happy home. They describe a family whose hearts rejoice in serving God and in serving one another. Christians should be happy. You should be happy. God created you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. God's word, God's statutes, God's directions and orders should make your heart rejoice. Jesus Christ was the perfect, sinless man. He said in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, "Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." God's law was in Jesus' heart, and it made his heart rejoice. He rejoiced in his inner man to do the will of God and obey the word of God. Psalm 45, verse 7 says that Jesus Christ loves righteousness and hates wickedness. And therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness, more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. That is a poetic and figurative description of the joy in Jesus Christ's heart. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we read this. "But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." God the Father anointed his Son, Jesus Christ, with the oil of gladness more than anyone else. He was the happiest man in all the earth. We should be happy. You should be happy. Your home should be filled with happiness. Everyone in your home should rejoice in heart. If you do not love Christ, and you do not live for Christ, and your life and your home does not reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will not be happy. If you do not have Christ, you will be unhappy. No matter what you try, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you will be unhappy. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." If you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, you should have joy in the Holy Spirit. You should be happy. Your heart should rejoice. Your heart should rejoice in God's word. The word of God is right, and should make you rejoice from the innermost part of your being. You and your family should be happy. Your home should be happy. Your wife and your children should be glad because they know what is right and they do what is right and they have purpose and meaning in their lives, and God pours out his blessing upon them. The way to be happy is to read God's word, believe in Christ, and live by the scriptures. The way to be happy is to be like Christ. The more your home is like Christ, the happier it will be. The more you are like Christ, the happier you will be. People want to be happy. Every person seeks happiness. People seek happiness in sin. Some people seek happiness in rebelling. Some people seek happiness in disobedience. They seek happiness in sinful desires and lusts. They seek happiness in pleasure. They seek happiness in self-fulfillment. People seek happiness in success and money. They seek happiness in friends or in being accepted or in entertainment, in sports, in being different, in anything that's new, in being irresponsible and self-indulgent. But none of those things brings happiness. People might be happy for a little while, but in the end they are unhappy and unfulfilled. There is an emptiness in their hearts. Their lives are empty because they have not known or done what is right. The statutes of the Lord are right, and they make the heart rejoice. If you want to rejoice, if you want to be happy, open your Bible and read. Fill your heart and your mind with God's Word. Submit your life to Scripture. Submit yourself to Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus for righteousness and salvation. Live by the right directions and orders of the Bible. Live for the Lord and His glory. When you serve God with all of your heart, you have unspeakable joy, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God is the judge of your life. He approves of your life if you live for Christ and you live in obedience to His Word, which is right. True joy in the heart is so much better than all the corrupt enticements and pleasures that are in this world. The enticements and the pleasures of this world are a deadly bait that will trap you and lure your soul to everlasting damnation. Those who delight in committing sin will have great sorrow. But those who observe the law of God will have an abundance of true joy in their hearts that shall never be taken away. The second part of Psalm 19, verse 8 says, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The Hebrew word translated commandment is a common word used over 180 times in the Old Testament. This word can be used to refer to God's commands. It can also refer to God's Word. What God commands in His Word is pure. The Bible is pure. It's not adulterated with sin. It's not mixed with error. It's not half good and half bad. It's not an impure mixture. God's Word is clear. It's without darkness. Psalm 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." That is pure. God's Word does not have any dross, does not have any defilement in it. It is pure from any foreign element. God's Word purifies us who hear and receive and believe and obey it. God's Word enlightens our eyes. To enlighten is to give light. God's Word gives light to our eyes. Without light, our physical eyes are not able to see. We need light in order to see. In Psalm 19, verse 8, the Lord is not talking about our physical eyes, but rather the eyes of our minds or the eyes of our understanding. He's talking about our spiritual eyes, or the eyes through which we see and understand spiritual truths revealed in God's Word. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, 17 through 19, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. The Holy Spirit of wisdom and special revelation uses God's Word, the Bible, to enable us to see and understand spiritual truths, the things of God. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to show us our sin and show us our misery and make us see the only way of salvation in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit enables us to believe in Christ and to rest and receive Him, to rest upon Him alone for salvation. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to show us our duty before God and how we should live. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word to teach us what is right and pleasing in the sight of the Lord and makes us desire out of thankfulness and love to God to conform ourselves to the rule of obedience in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit uses the commandments of God to teach us the difference between good and evil. He teaches us that it is vain to seek a standard of right and wrong in any other place than the Bible. Whatever men devise by themselves is corrupt and worthless. Every philosopher and every law code designed by men corrupts the purity of life as God ordained it. Men with all of their wisdom and sharp minds are blind and wander in darkness until they turn their eyes and their minds to the light of God's holy word. That is true of the greatest minds and the greatest men. They are blind. They wander in darkness. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise knowledge and instruction." No one is truly wise except those who follow the Lord and His Word. No one is truly wise except those who walk in the path that God sets before us in the Bible. No one is truly wise except those who seek after the peace and the righteousness that God offers and presents in Holy Scripture. You might be thinking, did not the Apostle Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 something different from what Psalm 19 verse 8 says? Paul says that the letter kills, that a veil lies on the heart of those who read Moses. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is dealing with people who perverted and abused the law of God and separated it from the grace and Spirit of Christ. If the Spirit of Christ does not quicken us or make us alive, God's Word is not only unprofitable, but also deadly. Without Christ, God's Word is a savor or a taste or a smell of death unto death. It condemns all mankind under the wrath and curse of God. Without Christ, there remains within us a rebelliousness of the flesh, which stirs up in our hearts a hatred of God and of His law. And from this comes the distressing bondage and the awful terror that Paul describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When you do not know the grace of God in Jesus Christ, you hear only God's word, your duty and your sin and God's wrath and justice and judgment. That's all that Martin Luther heard in the Bible until God opened his heart and his mind and the eyes of his understanding to see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in fully paying for all of our sins and giving to us the perfect righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ as our own. He finally understood that the just live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. The just do not live by their own works, but by the perfect works of Christ in our place. When we know the grace of God in Jesus Christ, then the law of God is sweet and pleasant, sweeter than honey, more precious than silver and gold. It teaches us the easy and light yoke of Jesus Christ. It gives us great joy in doing God's will. It gives us great pleasure in doing what is right. It enables us to see so clearly, in bright light, and so purely, the truth. It gives us the burning desire and delight to walk in God's way. God says, "This is the way. Walk in it." And we we say with Jesus, I love you with all of my heart and soul and strength and mind. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Teach me your way, O Lord. Conform me to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Renew my mind to think your thoughts after you. Make me to live more and more for your glory, to the praise of your grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord our God, we thank you for your statutes and your commandments, for all of your word that you have given to us. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you have given us your word, which reveals the perfection of your character, which reveals your holiness and justice and goodness and truth. Your statutes are right. Your commandments are pure. May our hearts rejoice in what is right. Give light to our minds and our hearts so that we might see clearly, so that we might see the way that you have set before us and delight to walk in it. Give us light that we might serve you faithfully this week. Father, cause us to open your word each day and to read from it, that our souls might rejoice, that our hearts may not wander from you, but might be stayed upon Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that we might grow up into all the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we pray, Father, that you will bless to us your word that we have heard today, that we might grow in love, and in gratitude, and in obedience, and in faith. Bless also, Father, that many who vainly seek for happiness in so many other things but your word might also be given light to see. They might come to Christ and find in him happiness that can never be taken away. Bless, we pray, the offerings and the tithes that we bring today. Use them for the advancing of the kingdom, for the proclamation of the gospel. Use them, Father, for the salvation of sinners, for the great work to which you have called your church in this world. And we thank you that you have given us such a part in the great cause of Jesus Christ, which shall increase even until that last day, that you might bring unto yourself all those whom you have chosen from before the foundation of the world. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.